This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Sylvia Hyden is a weaver, and she calls the Eno River her partner. She's not being coy. Her frequent hikes along the Eno have shown her the geometric complexities of nature, which she has translated into her art. Sylvia weaves extraordinary tapestries, huge abstract wall hangings that embody the layered reflections of the shimmering river and the shape and texture of the hard surfaces in and around the water. Sylvia's work and artistic philosophy are documented in a new film, A Weaverly Path, which was directed by Kenny Dalsheimer, a well-known Durham filmmaker. Kenny and Sylvia join me in the studio today. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Sylvia, you grew up in Switzerland. Parents encouraged you to or at least your artistic talents, and your father painted with you when you were a child. Was that your first medium, paint?
No, school was my first one. I had a wonderful teacher the first 4 years, somebody who really reformed school. We sat around on tables. We could get up any time and draw on the wall whatever we wanted. We did a musical together. We invented the story, and we made the songs, and then played it all over the city.
Wow. This is pretty progressive for that
time,
I would think.
That was very progressive. Yeah.
And you were encouraged at home. And am I right, you also, at some point in your life, wanted to build violins, but that was off limits for girls at that time.
That was off limits, yeah. That was, I was always interested in carpet, in crafts, all kinds of crafts. We made things with my father. He was always like having us in a studio and building things.
What did he do?
He was at the Department of Education in Basel, because the pharmaceuticals came in, and they brought a lot of workers, and the city of Basel was very much aware that they would live in ghettos, and they didn't want that. They wanted them to integrate them into the city, and my father was in charge of that. So he worked with all the young people, and so he did things, and of course we did them too.
And art and craft, I guess, a very important part of that education.
Yeah.
And when did you start weaving?
Oh, late. I didn't want to become a weaver. All through my time at the textile department at school, weaving was numbers.
So why didn't you want to weave?
It just didn't get me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to draw, I wanted to design, I wanted to build everything but weaving. But it happened at the diploma, because it was a great challenge to do all sorts of things, and in the end, even a floor rock on a flame. And I had to build the frame, and there I thought, maybe strings on a frame and at least something to pursue.
Got a little more exciting. Well, Kenny, when did you meet Sylvia?
I met Sylvia probably 3 years ago, and maybe prior to that, and when I didn't yet know you that well. Sylvia and her daughter Francois came to my studio and talked about making a film, and we had other conversations, and fortunately we made a film. So
yeah,
it was.
And what brought you to Durham?
My husband, he was with Duke. His field was a dream too, preventive medicine, and then we ended up in epidemiology, and he started the Diet and Fitness Center originally. And Duke was wonderful. They gave him all the freedom.
Wow. So you're here in Durham. You had already started weaving, so you're weaving now.
Yeah, by then I had a loom. I never had a big loom before. I got that for a big commission I had to do in Switzerland, so I came with not much else but a loom and started here.
And then you met the Eno River.
Late. That is a new story. That came after. We went off and on, and then went to Switzerland for 12 years because my mother was still alive and we still had that house. And I thought I would never come back. But in between, I came because my daughter was here. I came, and we always went down to the Eno. And there, all of a sudden, I thought that Eno is textile. It's all textile. And I started making tapestries, more textile with bark and all things in Switzerland. And then we came, and I was ready. And actually, I told Kenny that if he makes a film, it has to be about the Eno and weaving.
Why would the Eno, a river, it's a dynamic thing. Mm. And when I think of tapestries, and maybe this is to my shame, I think about these static pictures, a photographic image of some kind that's captured in a tapestry or geometric design.
Yeah, but that's what I really would like to do for the modern tapestry, to make it move, because basically the technique is not on a background like a painting. You move on the loom. You have to add. You can't weave where there is nothing. It's one on top of the other, and it's closer to music than it is to painting.
And you have already done that, made tapestries to musical pieces as well.
Yeah, I always tried not to really use music or weave music. It's the structure. It's the movement in it. It has a motif. It has a theme, a phrase. It disappears. And then when it has to be on the wall, there is no other way. And when it's on the wall, I feel that there it has to move too. You have to see that.
Theme and variation is very important
to
you.
Yeah, that's very important.
Motive, motion is important to you. But again, and you just said it a minute ago, it dissolves, it disappears in a river. Things appear to be there, then they go away.
Yeah, they escape you constantly, and that's the beauty, because then you have to absorb and see it in your own mind and see it from the weaving. What can I do on my loom, and what is really the moving part on my loom? And that, with every new tapestry, I'm amazed that it's a new discovery.
It has to be. You're making up these techniques as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. I've never learned anything. I just did it from the very beginning. That's why I'm so free.
Kenny, the beautiful thing among the story itself is beautiful in your film, but what you managed to capture is this internal process that Sylvia has just described. We're going to look at the river, then we're going to see the tapestry, and we're going to see the gorgeous art that she creates. But how that happens has to – your medium moves all the time. Well, how did you go about filming what is essentially an internal process that finds its way into textile and showing it to viewers?
Well, Sylvia invited me into her world for almost a year and allowed me to be in her studio shooting and to walk with her on the river. And in filmmaking, you shoot hours and hours of material. And in my mode of filmmaking, the story and the film, and in this case, Sylvia's art, kind of emerge from that material. So I think I was very lucky to have Sylvia be the artist, because she speaks so well, and she's a very interesting and special kind of artist who talks about her creative process in a way that I found intriguing and interesting. And the river is a character in the film, as you noted, and that it was important for Sylvia and for me to have that be prominent in parts of the film.
Your work was lovely going into this, before you met the Eno, if I may. Did you find yourself at a kind of at a place where you were feeling the need to move on, or did the river just grab you and take you?
It grabbed me for a year. I just couldn't get out of it. And then I thought, no, I go my own way, do my own forms again, and then it attracted me again. And that the combination of these two made me realize that I'm not doing Eno tapestries at all. They are their own tapestries. They have their own movement, the fluidity of the water. Water has its own nature, and weaving has its own nature. And I thought, if I really managed to do something well, I thought, oh, that's just what nature would have done under the same circumstances.
You talk, too, about the tactile nature of your art, the fact that texture, textile, these are all related. And your fingers on the thread is a very important part of your visualization. I found that surprising.
Yeah,
you
because
see through your fingers.
Tapestry is not technique. There is no technique, I think. But it's a very sensuous world. It's intellectual too, but you have to use all your senses. You have to look. Your tactile sense is very important. I hear it. You hear the Eno, but you hear. I listen to music, and from there I know where a motif goes. I have a motif on the loom, so it's really all your senses. You need, and all your senses, you have to, with all your senses, you have to look at it.
Kenny, did this pose any challenges to you as a filmmaker? Did you have to pioneer your own techniques, in a sense, or at least your ideas about filmmaking when it came to trying to capture this story?
I don't know if it did. One of the challenges in telling this Sylvia's story was to weave together, sorry about that, the story of Sylvia's life, which I think is really important to know where she came from and how she grew up, and to weave that with her art. And that was really fun when it started to click and work. But again, I think being able to be in Sylvia's world with a camera, there was a lot of great material that I could work with. And it was challenging to edit, as most films are, but Sylvia's was a easy edit in some ways.
A lot of interesting stories along the way. You talked about the creative classroom that you were in very early, but then you met up with some nuns. I'm going to defend them in a minute, but I'm going to let you tell your story now, because it did sound like a pretty horrific moment.
But I must say, when she really started to hit me on my fingers.
And you were doing what at the time?
Because I didn't draw what she wanted me to draw. I did it the way it was and not with a ruler. And she looked at me, and I saw something in her eyes which told me she didn't have the right to do it that way. And this girl can do what she wants.
And your father supported you, too.
Oh, he did.
After that. I had some very creative nuns. I just want to tell you that much. But I respect your story, and I understand it's part of your story. I feel the need to defend them at every moment.
Yeah.
You did, and then you went to school. You then moved to the United States. You did a lot of weaving. And I love the story about the fact that the loom at one point in your life became the centerpiece of the house. People had to travel around that darn thing if they wanted to get anything done.
Yeah. It was really the center. It was the center for me, and my husband was really happy that I had a center, because he was moving all the time. So we kept moving as far as we could with him over the Atlantic. But at some point I said, Durham is the headquarters. You can go where you want, and I come along when I can. But here is where I stay and where I weave.
Is that because of the river?
At that point, it was not because of the river.
Why? Why then?
Just the getting somewhere with tapestry, understanding what it was, and being able to move ahead out of the old the part of the tapestry which the Gobelin, which I don't really like, but I don't just put it all together down and say this is no good, because it was late in history. And one thing I really would like to say is that in art history, tapestry was for a while was what it was. It was a business for nobility, but for art, it was not. It was not that interesting anymore. But as a whole, we have lost it. It's not part of art history because it didn't survive. But if you look at the Coptic tapestries, if you look at the Peruvian Nazca things, they are wonderful things because they were in the sand, they survived. But the whole world was full, And we are never mentioned anymore.
Is that because largely tapestries are not utilitarian, but textile work, textile art tends to be more
that too. But and it was utilitarian, but people wove their own cloth and they put on wonderful things, artistic things. I mean, the Peruvian, if you look at what they had in their graves, it's mind-boggling for me, really, to see what they did.
Are you hoping to see a revival in tapestry?
I hope so. That, I think, is that's my mission. As long as I live, I work now toward a revival.
Do you think that's going to, Kenny, is that something that's going to happen? Was that any part of your mission after you started this?
Well, I think so. We like to think of Sylvia's art as 20th century modernist art. And I agree with Sylvia that in the art world, the dichotomy between art and craft can sometimes push out the tapestry arts and Sylvia's art in particular. And we're hoping that audiences and students and curators and museums, when they see the film, will say, wow, this is 20th century, 21st century now, modern art.
Is part of the reason you think that it may have been ignored or not properly treated because it was largely women's work?
No, actually, the Gobelin had a lot of men working it, but the weaver was not. The weaver had to do what had to be done. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do his own thing. But one thing also, a musicologist told me, he was into tapestry because there are instruments on lots of medieval tapestries. So, but then he fell in love with the tapestries, and he told me tapestry is the perfect balance between art and craft, and I'm absolutely sure of that.
It's beautiful work, and I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Thanks so
much
for having
me. Okay,
thank you.
Kenny Delsheimer is the director of the film A Weaverly Path that documents the work of Sylvia Hyden, and you can find out more about the film at aweaverlypath.com. That's the state of things for today. Thanks for listening. Our website is stateofthings.org. Follow us on Facebook as well. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.